On the next few Sunday nights, I would like us to look at a little bit of information about soul winning. There's not many souls being won these days, not many at all. Does that mean that the people aren't out there hungry for the Lord? They are. There's still people out there hungry for the Lord. We just have to run across them. And we have to realize that that's an opportunity that the Lord is putting in front of us. And so for the next two or three Sunday nights, we're gonna look at not how, but why. Because the why is very important. Pardon? Well, the how is, but you already know the how, because you were led to the Lord at some point. And you know how you came to receive him. And that is the how. We don't have to learn that. We've experienced it in our own life, in our own heart. And so, but the part that we need to learn is the why. We need to have a burden. And next Sunday night, as a part of thinking about and learning about the whys of soul winning, we're going to talk about love. Because that is a very, very important part of every ministry. And I don't believe, from what I've seen, from what I've observed, I don't believe that many Christians understand the kind of love God intends for us to have. And I want to make sure that we, as a family, understand. Very important. But for tonight, if I were to tell you to turn to the Great Commission, would you know where to turn? Okay. Go ahead and turn there, and we'll see if we all wind up in the same place. Be Matthew 28. Matthew 28. It begins, I'm going to begin at verse 16. It actually begins after that, but this is a part of that passage. And I want us to look at all of it tonight. Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went away unto Galilee to a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Now remember, Jesus was crucified in Jerusalem, or outside of Jerusalem, on Golgotha. Galilee was north of Jerusalem. It was a separate, not nation, but a separate community. And so here he had told his disciples, when I'm taken away from you, you go to Galilee and I'm going to meet with you there. And so, verse 18, he kept his word. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I want you to notice that word all. All power is given to Jesus. Now, you and I have certain strengths. We have the ability to do certain things. Some of us could lift 35 pounds. Some would struggle with 6 pounds. But it depends on the shape it's in, if it's slippery or not. And some could lift 100 pounds. Janice is shaking her head no. Every time we stand up, some of us are lifting much more than 100 pounds. Okay? But Jesus said all power was given unto him. So we don't have power within ourselves to do what he wants us to do. It's not with the power is in the Holy Spirit. He is within us. And he is the one we're studying in Sunday school, communicating with God or hearing God speak. And God speaks through his Holy Spirit. He speaks to each one of us. I hope he has spoke to you today and that you have heard him when he spoke to you. Go to church. Get up. Wear this. Wear that. He tells us sometimes to do these things. And he doesn't leave a lot. He's available to help us. And so when Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth, we are living on earth. When a soul is saved, that soul is given a place in heaven. And that is part of the power that Jesus has been given. So you and I can't do anything. We don't have the power to do it. None of us can save anyone. And yet there are people that you would like to see saved, aren't there? And haven't you invested time praying for that person? Haven't you invested time trying to witness to that person till they say, get away from me and don't talk to me again about this? Jesus has the power to make them listen. Or he has the power to give you the courage you need to be the witness he wants you to be. You're not doing this on your own. You better not be. You better be doing it in the power of God, in the power of Jesus Christ. And that's one of the reasons we're going to talk about love next week. Because that's a part of it. And it's so important. So he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And verse 19, he said, go ye. He's talking to you. He's talking to you right here. You are the ye. So am I. And he's talking to every one of us. There is nobody he is not talking to in that chapter, in that verse 19. Go ye and babble all over the place. That's not what he said. He said, teach all nations. Teach all nations. We used to be what the world considered a Christian nation. We are not that anymore. We haven't been that for a long time. It's been sort of sliding. We have been letting it slide. You and I have not been the example that we are supposed to be. And we say, well, what can one person do? One person can be an example that affects some other person or even a group of other people. I had never heard of, and I'm not being political, I had never heard of Donald Trump before 1910 or 2010. Had you? Had you? Okay. But I didn't really know who he was. And you and I, all of us, have a chance to be an example for someone. Someone is watching you. They're watching you for one of two reasons. Either they want to see you fail and slip, or they're watching you to see if your God is real. And so that's something we have to ask ourselves. Is God real? And so when he says, go and teach all nations, that does not mean, well, we're sending out missionaries, God. We're keeping this part of the Great Commission. Yes, we are doing that. And that's the right thing for us to do. But there are other ways that you can teach some foreign nation. Michael Privet, we'll get on an airplane tomorrow and we'll fly to India, where he will teach for 2 weeks, hold a mini seminar for the pastors in a certain area of India. And pastors will come from all over the country to attend those seminars. He's teaching nations. You and I have a chance to teach nations by living the way God wants us to live. Even if we are made an example of, even if we are made an example of. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. Are any of you supposed to be baptizing people? Why? Because the baptism is supposed to be done by an ordained pastor or minister. And that could be a deacon if there's no pastor available. But I have seen people lead someone to Christ, and I've had them actually bring them to me and say, I want to use your pool to baptize this person. And they're a layman. That's not the way it's supposed to be done. Baptism has no part of being saved other than it is a testimony on the part of the person who has been saved. This has taken place in my heart. I have given it to Jesus Christ. The sin is covered by the blood of Christ. And I now am raised in newness of life to serve him. That's what it's all about. Layperson is not supposed to baptize. There's nothing wrong with baptizing in a swimming pool if the right person does it. Okay? This is all, so much of it is just taken for granted that everybody knows that. But the longer I live, the more I find out everybody doesn't know that. And I've seen people try and do that. And then it goes on in verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the proper translation of that last word would be age. Age. The period of time we live in right now. And then he says something else. And it's not insignificant. He says, amen. So be it. So be it. Now, we call that the Great Commission. And that commission is not just to me or to Lacey or to Bobby. It's to every one of you. Every one of you. There is no one exempt. Berkeley is not exempt. You're supposed to be telling other people who Jesus is and what he's done for you. And you don't have to be trained how to do that. He did it to you. So you just tell him what happened to you. And that's it. It's that simple. There's no magic formula, no magic number of words to say or special prayer to be offered. You prayed in your heart, believing that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and that's what everybody else who's ever going to be saved will have to do. Now, they're going to watch your life to see if you're living what you are supposed to, what you're saying, if you are practicing what you preach. It makes a big difference, folks, a huge difference. When I was 16 years old, I remember I was laying in bed at night. My father was coming up, came upstairs because it was very unusual. And he came into the room, my bedroom, where my brother and I were laying. He said, "Now, when you boys get older, I really don't want you to drink or to smoke." And he stood there. Beer in one hand, cigarette in the other. How impressive was that? First of all, he was 2 years too late, as most of us have experimented when we're younger. But that made no impression on me because he wasn't living what he was saying. He wasn't practicing what he preached. And if we're going to be effective, if we're going to be effective in following through with the Great Commission, we are going to have to live what we're telling people. There's at least three different groups that the Lord is talking to here. There were those who believed Jesus. They recognized him. But there were also unbelievers here in this group. Men who did not believe. And there were those who did not believe that he was who he said he was, or that he was physically back on earth. So the Great Commission was presented to the disciples by Jesus Christ in his resurrection body before he ascended to heaven. But it was the intention of Jesus for all of his disciples and followers, which would include all those who would believe on him because of what they would read and believe in the Bible, that's us, 2,000 years later, and who would obey that command, and that command must be obeyed. Of all the commands that Jesus has ever given, this is the most important. This is the one that we have failed on. Well, it doesn't mean we don't mention Jesus to somebody every once in a while. But folks, we are supposed to be fanatics. Really. There's nothing wrong with being a fanatic other than loneliness. Okay. God wants us to be fanatics. So for the next few Sunday nights, I want us to look at various scriptures that deal with obedience to the command that Jesus gave his disciples and what obedience might look like. I want us to look at different scriptures that deal with our efforts to be obedient to Christ's intention for each of us. I truly doubt that there is any one of us that is doing all that he or she could, that is implied in the Great Commission. Now, Jesus gave this to his disciples. They were living men at that time, 2,000 years ago. And 11 men went out and changed the world. Look around you. There's more than 11 of us. And those men were able to change the world because they believed what Jesus told them to do, and they did it. I try and keep that gospel track rack full. Somebody else is helping me out. I don't know who it is, but I know other people are putting tracks in it. But we're not going through nearly the number of tracks that we used to. Almost every garment I've got hanging up in my closet had tracks in the pocket. Because I don't want to put some, I don't wash them, by the way, the tracks. I do wash the garments. Okay. Just in case any of you were wondering. But I take the tracks out when I put them in the dirty clothes, and I lay them in a particular place, and when I get those clothes cleaned and get ready to hang them back up in the closet, I pick up the tracks, put them back in the pocket, so that I'm not without tracks. That's how important it is that we be ready to be witnesses. I believe that all of us, I don't believe there's anybody here who shouldn't be handing out gospel tracts. But just handing a person a tract is not enough. You've got to explain to them what that is. Connie and I traveled a lot in our ministry. We traveled to a lot of different foreign countries. We used to take teens down to Mexico during the summer and take them in about 450 miles down as far as Thomas and Charlie, Mexico. And when you go there, if you try and hand somebody a tract out of the Northland Mall, in most cases they're not going to take it, or they're going to throw it down as soon as you hand it to them. They'll look at it, oh. We used to have people and children run after our bus to get a gospel tract. They were hungry to know what it was we were talking about. There is not that hunger here anymore. But there are hungry people out there. You met one of them a couple of Sundays ago. Her name was Kayla, and she was hungry. And I took a moment to interrupt her. I'd never talked to her before. I said, "Can you stop for a minute and talk to me?" And she did. And I was able to lead her to Christ. And she came to church because she had found something new. And you know what was even more amazing? She came back on Monday night. And someone gave her a Bible. I believe it was Diana. Folks, the people are there. They're out there. We just have to find them. And God wants us to know them. He wants to show them to us. He wants to put us in their path. And you just don't know the joy of seeing someone's life changed completely by the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in verse 19, I started to say, it's one thing to just hand a person a gospel tract. That's not what he was talking about in the Great Commission here. Because he said in verse 19, go ye, that's to each one of us, no one excepted, go ye, and he starts off with, and teach all nations, everybody. Teach them about Jesus. It doesn't hurt to ask somebody, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And explain to them that God loves them. And we're going to get into that next Sunday night, what that really means. But we need to teach, we need to show them by our example. If something happens to you, something that is disagreeable, in some way you are gravely offended, how do you react? If somebody hits you, are you going to hit them back? Most of us. Okay, Janice is laughing at herself. Most of us, if somebody hits us with malice, we're going to swing back. Aren't we? Where's the love in that? If somebody calls us a name, I know none of you would call them another name back, of course. Well, maybe. How long do we have as children of God, knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, having the Holy Spirit living within our heart, how long do we have to forgive them? Well, let's see, what's the date today? It's supposed to be instantaneous. And it's because of, it is supposed to be because of love. So you see, we can teach them by our actions a lot better than we can teach them with words. I know that some of you have raised children. Did they always do what you told them to do? Did they ever do what you told them to do? That was maybe a more appropriate question. But we loved them. And in most cases, we forgave them. We knew that they were stupid, okay? And that was going to be their excuse. It's important that you and I get out among people. It is very important that we get out among people. We're not going to be able to take the gospel out there if we're not out there. And that means that we should look for excuses not to go out and spend money necessarily, but to go out where the public is and look for someone that we can talk to about Jesus. And God will give you an opportunity to do that. We have all met people. In this last week, some of you work, some of you have people that you work with. Some of you have been out shopping and you've met people while you were shopping. Some of you have just been maybe window shopping and you've met people that way, or you've come in the presence of other people that way. Let's just say, just for talking, let's say that you've met 25 people in this last week. How many of them did you tell about Jesus? I don't want an answer. Let's say that, well, really, Brother Ken, I think I've probably met more than that. I may have met 50 people this week. How many of them did you tell about Jesus? Mm. 200 people? How many of them did you tell about Jesus? You see the problem? We're not fulfilling the Great Commission. How many gospel tracts have you handed out in the last month? Now, leaving a tip in a gospel tract doesn't count. Okay? Huh? How many gospel tracts have you been aggressive enough to give to someone? Can you count them on one hand? Or do you need to take your shoes off? You see, we're not doing what Jesus challenged us to do. How many people do you meet in a year? How many gospel tracts do you give out to those people? And for most of us, I'm afraid that we might be able to count them on one hand. Maybe two at the most. And folks, that does not please God. That does not do what Jesus told us to do there at the end of the book of Matthew. So I'd ask you again to look at the Great Commission and what Jesus actually said about how to go about telling others about God's plan. The first part is, of course, go. Well, we have to go. We have to get out there if we're going to talk to anybody. And it requires an action on our part, going. We have to be, if we're going to witness to people, we have to be in communication with them. I know I don't like going home to an empty house and wandering through the house, talking to myself. So I talk to God when I wander through the empty house. We have to be in communication with people. God made us that way. He made us social animals. What did he do with Adam? He said, it's not good for him to be alone. Isn't that what he said? So he made a woman, and men have been in trouble ever since. And then he made more people and more people and more people. And they're there for you and I to minister to tell them, God loves you. Oh, God doesn't really love me. I'm a drunk. Or I smoke too much, or I use bad language. He still loves him. And it's our, not job, it's not a job, it's a privilege. But it's our privilege to show them that as a child of God, we're going to love them too. Now, some of them, and I tell you what, in my earlier Christian walk, I had difficulty with witnessing to some people if they didn't smell so good or they didn't look so good. Any of that sound familiar? But those people need Jesus Christ. He died for them. Now, we don't want to die for them, but he died for them. And they are the people that God wants us to witness to tell about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's okay to tell people that God loves them. I'm sure some of you have done that. But it's even more effective if we can give an example of how he has loved us. God loves every one of you. You should know that. No matter what's going on in your life, God loves you. He is taking care of you. He is watching out for you. Some cases he's protecting you. He's making special arrangements for you. Most people today really don't know who Jesus is. Most people today, and most children today, because Jesus has been taken out of the school books, out of every reference that the school can take him out of, they don't know who he is, other than that is some bad language their parents use at home. I have actually met children in this area, this geographic area, within probably 20 miles of this church, who were 10 to 12 years old who did not know who Jesus was. What? Yeah. They did not know who Jesus was because they don't hear about him in school. They don't go to church. And you may be the only one they have contact with who knows Jesus. I appreciate very much you ladies who take the children out in the morning service to teach them Sunday school, to teach them about Jesus. For some of them, that may be the only input that they get. Sometimes for a long time. And folks, it's not bad families. Sometimes it's our families. How many of you remember Joseph? My grandson. He lived with Connie and I out here in a mobile motorhome for a year. He heard about Jesus here. But then it was 3 years before he heard about Jesus again. That was my son, my grandson. Folks, we may have loved ones who are not doing what they're supposed to do. And you and I have the opportunity to intercede. I have been praying for 3 years that my son would find a church in North Carolina that he would attend. And it wasn't until about 4 weeks ago that he did. Because he didn't look. Now he's found a church and he is excited about it, and the church is excited about him and his kids. And that was my answer to prayer. So folks, there is a reason for you and I to reach out. And there is opportunity, plenty of opportunity, for you and I to reach out. How many people are you going to meet this year? I appreciate you folks so much. You just don't know. When a few years ago, I had a vision of our reaching people out here in front of the church with an electronic sign. And many of you supported that effort. And the first sign we had, it didn't accomplish as much as I had hoped it would. But then it got hit by lightning. God said, let's get rid of that. And he hit it with lightning. And that took care of that. And it was insured. And it was insured for its current value, not what we paid for it. And so that gave us more money toward what is out there right now. How many mathematicians do we have in here? Nobody? Okay. There are about 40,000 cars pass here a day. If we made an impression on every one of them, our congregation of 24 families, maybe 35 people, we would make 22 million impressions a year with that sign. You think that's an important part of our ministry? We are making impressions. And we need to make more. Folks, we have an unlimited God. When Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, it's available to you. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. He's supposed to be sitting on the throne of your heart. He wants to use you. He wants to give that power to you to reach out into other people's lives. And so I want us to look at that possibility on Sunday nights, for just a few Sunday nights, to see if we can find a reason to do something different than what we're doing right now. I want to see more Kaylas come in here. Now, she was only going to be home for just a little over a week from the time I led her to the Lord. She came on that Sunday. She came back on Monday night, and Thursday she was in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, at the University of North Carolina. But it was a chance to reach out to her. And let's reach out to people. Let's fill up what chairs we've got left. Let's have a song in our heart. Let's have the power of Jesus Christ upon our lives. And let's do something for him. I can't save anybody. Neither can you. You might love them to pieces, but you can't save them. That has to be done by the Holy Spirit. But you can tell them about him. You can't save them, but you can tell them about who the Holy Spirit is. And then that little stirring that they have within themselves, they might think, oh, what is that? Is that, could that be the Holy Spirit? Could he be convicting me? I'm going to close with one verse right now. I'm halfway through. It's one of those nights. But I'm going to close with one verse. Mark 8:38. Turn there if you will. I want you to see this. I hope it brings conviction upon you. I hope that you cannot be comfortable, that you, the Holy Spirit just keeps this verse in your mind, going through it and through it and through it. Mark 8:38. Jesus was talking to his disciples. We are his disciples. We are following him. And Jesus said in Mark 8:38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Let me read that again. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me. I hope you don't want him to be ashamed of you. And the time it's talking about is when he comes back, riding on that white horse from heaven at the end of the tribulation period to destroy all evil. Wouldn't that be an awful time for him to be ashamed of us? Father, help us. Help us, Father. Jesus has said, all power has been given unto him in heaven and in earth. And Father, help us to claim his strength as we tell others about Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to be faithful witnesses to the people that you put in our lives. Help us, Father, to be the stewards you have put us here to be, to use the time the way you want us to use it. And Father, give us a burden in our hearts for the lost people around us. And Father, make us soul winners. Help us to be faithful soul winners for thee. And Father, we will praise you because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.